Well, graduates, here we are. One final charge from me on a graduation service to you. Though it might not be the last time you hear me preach it to you or at you, but it'll be one of the last times I get to actually give you a charge. Hopefully it's the last time I get to give you a charge for your graduation. So hopefully everything goes smooth this week and you make it and there's no doubts. But, you know, graduation often symbolizes a maturity in life for a teenager. It symbolizes the transition from a teenager to a young adult. And people too often forget that even though these are graduates leaving high school, moving on towards college, too many times we forget, and I don't belittle you in any way when I say this, graduates, you're still teenagers. You're still teenagers. And I think too many times we are quick to cut the strings of teenagers when they graduate. Parents are quick to say, well, you're done, snip, you're on your own, go. And too many times the graduates are yanking on the strings saying, let me have them, let me have them, let me have them. Yank, good, I'm gone, and I'm going to go. But I want to remind us tonight that really nowhere in the Bible does God say there's a point in time when you reach a certain age that the parents are to cut the strings and let them go. You know, we still have a responsibility as a church to teach, to guide, and to encourage our teenagers, even after graduation. Pastor Larry knows that. With the singles ministry, I watch him week in and week out just with desire and passion try to reach and teach singles some skills and some things that they need to know with the Word of God to better their walk with Christ in their life. And as parents, I encourage you, this is not a time to let down the barriers of protection. And not time to cut them loose and say, you're on your own, it's time for you to figure it out. That's not what graduation's about. And as I sat and thought for a while, I realized that graduation does make an end of adolescence. And with an end of adolescence becomes the beginning of a maturing adult. So every one of you seven graduates are a maturing adult. You've been doing that for some time, but now you do kind of get to an area where it's a little more real. I remember my graduation year. And I remember the summer of that, and I won't get into the stories because I share them quite often on the graduation services, but it was a definite maturing process over the next 4, 5, 15 years. It takes a while, but it's a process. And so teenagers, don't run and try to yank the strings from your parents and say, I'm through, I can do it on my own. You need that. And so as I was praying of how I could challenge our graduates, the book of Acts has been fresh on my mind. I've been studying it, and I got to thinking about the disciples that were with Jesus Christ. And more in particular, I was thinking of Peter. And I was thinking about Peter and the life that he had with Christ, with Christ's ministry on earth for 3 years, 3.5 years or so. And I realized that once Christ left the earth, and the disciples were there, and they saw him leave the earth and ascend and be seated at the right hand of the Father, it kind of symbolized to me a moment of a graduation for the disciples. Christ had given them all of the knowledge that they needed for that time, and he gave them all of the teaching that they needed. And once he was finished with that, he was able to go through on Calvary and pay for our sins on that cross, be put to death on that cross, raised from the dead, and be seated in heaven waiting for the Father to tell him to go and return. And from that point on, the disciples were kind of on their own. They had graduated. But if we recall the life of the disciples, just because they graduated didn't mean that they were like, okay, I've got it. It's all figured out, ready to go. In fact, I remember that Jesus, as he was speaking to the disciples, he told them that when he left them, he was leaving them with something else. Does anybody remember what they left him? Graduates, what did Jesus tell the disciples that he was going to leave them when he left to heaven? What was he leaving them? Exactly, the Holy Spirit. He was leaving them his Spirit to be able to guide and direct them, a comforter. And so even as they were going on to graduation, kind of moving on, and Jesus was leaving them for in the physical sense, he left them something behind to stay connected with them. Same thing we have to do, parents and church. We've got to stay connected with our graduates. Not just let them go and figure it out on their own. No, they still need a connection to us. They still need help and guidance. Yes, they have the Holy Spirit. Our teenagers here tonight are saved, and many of them I got to know and lead to the Lord myself or hear testimony of when they got saved and trusted Christ. So we know they have the Spirit of God. We know that they have the Holy Spirit to guide and direct them. But as a church, we need to continue to pray for them. We need to continue to teach them. As parents, you need to continue to protect them. You need to continue to stay involved in their life, no matter whether they're in high school, college, or wherever it be. And so tonight, as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know what? There's really three truths that I kind of got from Peter that I thought would be helpful for you tonight, and really for us as a church. As I studied this out, it encouraged my heart also. And there are three things that I kind of learned from Peter about spiritual maturity. And I want you guys to take these tonight. They're kind of just three tips on spiritual maturity for you as graduation. And really, we can all benefit from it, church. The first tip that I want to share with you, go to your Bible in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, we're going to start there, kind of one of the earlier appearances of Peter. The first tip that I want to share with you, teenagers, graduates, you got your journals. If you open them up and you have a pen, you can start writing on them. Matthew 16, the first tip that we are going to learn from Peter tonight is that failure is possible. Failure is possible, teenagers, graduates, church. Failure is possible. Failure is something that we need to expect, something that we need to prepare for, something that we need to know is going to happen so we don't get knocked down and sulk. Failure is going to happen, and it is possible. Look at Matthew 16, 21. Matthew 16, 21, we see Jesus and Peter kind of having a dialogue here. It says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Can you imagine for a minute Peter rebuking the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, I don't know about y'all, but there's been some times where I have rebuked an individual that as I'm in the midst of rebuking that individual, I'm thinking, this is probably stupid. This is not the person I need to rebuke. Whether I think what they're saying is right or not, this is going to hurt when it comes back. And you know what? Look at Jesus' response. I thought it was interesting. He rebukes Jesus, Peter does. And then look at verse 23. He says, "But he turned and said unto Peter," or unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." I don't know about y'all, but to me, Peter had a little failure problem right there. I think Peter missed the boat on that one. Okay? Peter's rebuking Jesus. Now, I'm going to share with you a little bit, graduates especially, but the rest of us, there's something that typically happens when failure. Something right before failure happens, there's something that happens in our flesh. It's where we decide, you know what, I'm going to do what I want and say what I think, and I'm going to do how I feel, instead of weighing out what's right, what's wrong. And I think Peter kind of did that. He jumped the gun a little bit. Instead of listening and saying, okay, I have no clue what you're talking about, but maybe I should sit back because you've shown me some pretty neat things already. Let me see what you're going to have to say. No, he jumps the boat. He failed. But this isn't the only time that we see Peter fail. If you remember, go over to Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse 69. Remember, Jesus told Peter that he was going to deny him three times. Peter said, no, there's no way I would do such a thing. And Jesus told him, yes, you will. Well, look here. In Matthew 26, 69, it says, "Now Peter sat without the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." In verse 70, "But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone unto them, when he gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto him, said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, and did not know the man." It says in verse 73, "And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, and they speech beweth thee." In verse 74, "Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crew, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." Teenagers, failure is possible. Peter failed twice here. We just see right here. I'm sure Peter had many other failures. We have failures in our life, and we have failures when we allow our flesh to be what guides us and directs us. When we decide to follow our feelings and our desires instead of following what God has given us, Jesus clearly told Peter that he was going to deny him. Peter clearly said, no, I won't. Didn't listen to Jesus. And therefore, being put in the position he was in, wound up denying Christ three times. You know, you too are going to have some failures. And I believe that the cause of these failures is when a person chooses to follow that flesh. Go to Romans 7. And I'm going to move quick here so I can get through these three points real quick. But I thought it was interesting in Romans chapter 7, when the Apostle Paul is writing to the church there, kind of dealing with the same thing of the flesh. Teenagers, graduation doesn't remove your flesh from you. It's going to be there. And adults, we all have it and we all deal with it. And in Romans 7:18, it says, for I know that in me, this is Paul speaking, he knows that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I got the will to do the right things, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good which I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And we go through a lot of the I's and the do's and the don'ts. And what we see here is Paul has a flesh, and Paul recognizes that he's got a desire to do what's right. But when we let our flesh lead, we do what's wrong often. And whenever we follow our flesh, and we know the Word says that there's no good thing in it, nothing good comes out of it. And I don't know about you, but to me, failure is not a good thing. So typically when we follow our flesh, teenagers, we're going to find failure. Failure's possible. Let that be a lesson to you in maturity. Failure is going to be possible. Now, be it so that I can avoid some failures by following this instead of my flesh. If I follow the Spirit of God that He's given to me, I can avoid some failure. But failure is possible. Just because Christ died for me and died for my sins and took those away from me doesn't mean that I do not and cannot sin anymore. Failure is possible. So teenagers, know that. Know that that is possible. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide tomorrow, today, and forevermore. Follow the desire that starts with, this is what the Lord wants for me. Don't ever follow the desire saying, this is what I want for me. When you begin to follow what I want for me, you're going to find some failures. When you follow what the Lord wants for you, there's no failure. So the first thing I want you to see tonight is that failure is possible. The second thing I want you to see from Peter here in spiritual maturity is friends are pivotal. Friends are pivotal. It's pretty interesting. I'm going to kind of hurry up here a little bit. But if we go back, go to Luke 24. After Peter witnessed Christ's death on the cross, he was found with some good company. Over in Luke 24, it says within days of maybe even hours of Peter denying Christ, over here in Luke 24, verse 8, I want you to see what it says. Luke 24, 8. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher. Okay, these are the ladies that were there and saw that Jesus was risen. They remembered the words and they returned. In verse 9, it says, from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and it says Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were there with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And these words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And then look at verse 12. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, and beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed. You see where Peter was after he had just, remember, denied Christ three times. He just denied that he even knew Christ three times. And here, just a few days after his crucifixion, notice who he's with. He's back with the disciples. He's back with the other 10. He was with good company. Even though Peter had failed, he had a choice to make there. Realize this, church. Teenagers, listen. When he failed, he could have said, well, you know what? I might as well join them. I failed. I told him I didn't know Christ. I might as well just stay with these ones that are accusing me. But he didn't. he realized that what was going to be important and that he needed in his life was to be with the right people. He went back with the disciples. He got back in fellowship with the disciples. Now, I don't know if he ran in there and told them, "Hey guys, I just denied Christ 3 times. He was right. I don't know that he did that. But I know he knew where to go. He knew that he needed to go where the friendships were going to be pivotal on the direction that he needed to go. He went to go with the people that he knew would guide him and encourage him, instruct him, and help him make the right choices. Clearly on his own, he wasn't doing a good job. He knew he needed the right friends. Graduates, some of you are staying here. Praise the Lord. Stay plugged in. Those of you that aren't, listen, when you get there, find the right friendships. Find the right friendships that are going to help encourage you and direct you and guide you and keep you in God's Word. You need those friendships. The Apostle Paul summed it up great when he told the Corinthians to be cautious about who they listen to. You don't have to turn there for sake of time, but Pastor Dan was just there on Sunday night in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. I thought it was pretty interesting as we read through it. He says, "For God is not..." I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong. That's 1 Corinthians. Go to 15, not 14. And then verse 33. He says this, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Teenagers, you hang out with some deceivers, it's going to corrupt even your manners. You may not fall in and do what they do, but even the simple manners of life that you have can corrupt them because you chose the wrong company. Avoid it. Know the right friends to run to and to be with. You want a list of it? Teenagers, you know we've been there before. God doesn't leave us hanging on, "Okay, so then who should I run to?" No, he gives it to us. Galatians 5. Told you guys there is a good book for you to go by. And look, Galatians 5:22. We say, "Well, what should I use to look for the right kind of people?" Well, Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is..." You know what? These are what you need to look for at college. These are what... Church, this is what we need to look for in our workplace. If we're going to hang out with some people outside of a Sunday morning or Wednesday night, we need to make sure they're the right friends, because friends can be pivotal. They need to have some of this. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." We say, "Who do I hang out with?" God says, "Look, let me show it to you." Teenagers, this gives us what you need. You know that. I've shared that with you week in and week out. You've heard it from Pastor Dan, from Pastor Larry, Pastor Tommy, Pastor Rich. What you need to make sure is you pick the right groups of friends. You know what? Graduation, in a lot of ways, is a blessing because it severs ties with friends that you had in high school that you didn't need. Sometimes we find it hard to break friendships, don't we, adults? Graduation's a time that you can say, "You know what? There's an easy out. I'm away from it. Now, let me start afresh. Let me find the relationships that I need that are going to encourage me and build me in the Spirit." Friendships are pivotal. And last thing that we see from Peter tonight, the third truth about spiritual maturity, little tip: freedom is powerful. Freedom is powerful. You say, "Well, what kind of freedom?" I'm talking about that you graduate and you're free. I'm talking about that Christ died on the cross for your sins and has made you free. That can be powerful. It can be powerful. Look at Romans 6. Go to Romans 6, verse 22. We're almost done. Romans 6, 22. You know, the truth is, freedom is a feeling that so many people search for, but so many people don't understand it because they don't know that it's simply found in Jesus Christ. In Romans 6, 22, it says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and to the end everlasting life." And then look over with me at Romans 8, 2. In Romans 8, 2, he says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free." You want freedom? Romans 8, 2 just told you where it's found. Romans 8, 2 says it's found in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Teenagers, with freedom comes power. I want to show you Peter one more time. Remember, Peter failed. He looked at Christ and rebuked him. He told Christ, "Look, I won't deny you 3 times, and he did it. After that, he knew what friends to go hang with. He knew that he needed to get with some good company. Look what it did. Go over to Acts. Go to Acts 4 for a minute. We see it a couple times. We see it in Acts 2, But I also want you to go to Acts 4. Think about this. This is Peter, the same guy that denied Christ three times not too long ago. In Acts chapter 4, now that he realizes all of the freedom that he has in Christ, notice what verse 13 says. Now when they saw the, what's the next word? Boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they have been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. And to kind of save a little bit of time, you read on. You see that the men decided that they were going to basically throw Peter and John out and tell them, look, you cannot speak of God any longer. Okay, we can't deny what you've done. We see some boldness in you, we saw in verse 13. So they tell him, just leave. Don't say anything else of God anymore. Look at verse 19. This is the same guy that denied Christ not too long ago. He stands up in front of these rulers and he says in verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearkeneth unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Teenagers, freedom gave them some power. They realized the freedom they had in Christ. Church, when we realize the freedom we have in Christ, it gives us a power that only God is going to be able to provide, and God is going to use and glorify His name and His Son, Jesus Christ. It comes with understanding that freedom. You know, Peter took all that he had learned with complete confidence. All that he had learned from Christ and all of those things, it didn't matter that he failed. He was able to stand up with John there and make a difference. You know, our freedom's not determined by how much money we make or how much we know, how high our IQ is or what our GPA was when we graduated high school. Our freedom's determined by whether or not we put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And with that freedom comes some great power. You know, Romans 1:16 is a verse that we even sing here in church quite often. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. And I love the rest of that verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Where's that power? It comes through Jesus Christ. The freedom that we've been given. And when we understand that and see that, teenagers, it leads us to a life of maturity. Spiritual maturity. That I have power. It's not mine, it's Christ's. It's all the power that I'll ever need. And there's so many more than these three facts about spiritual maturity, but I feel that after looking at the life of Peter, that these three things stood out to me. Graduates, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you as you graduate in church. Really, all of us ought to think about it. Some things about our spiritual maturity. Failure is going to be possible. Failure is possible in our life. But one thing we need to remember is friends are pivotal. Friends can, the group of people that we run to after failure can determine a lot. And it says a lot about us. And then finally, freedom is powerful. Freedom is power. And so graduates, know that your past failures are not defeats. They're learning experiences. Church, when we fail, we learn. And where you choose to seek comfort and support is going to say a lot about the desires and your desire to please God. Seek relationships that are going to help mature your faith. Learn from your mistakes and help you. And don't ever start a morning or end a night without reflecting on the freedom that has been provided through you or for you through the cross of Jesus Christ. Don't ever let a moment go by where you don't realize the freedom you've received. Let that be a part of your daily walk, step by step, like we sang tonight.